You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
On a jam-packed Thursday edition of the program, we welcome you in to the Gym Class, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour. Your afternoon local programming block getting underway will be followed by Spencer Wagon and Spencer on Sports from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock, getting you ready for Thursday night football coming up tonight. 6:30, we'll have the pregame, and about 7:15 with the kickoff. It'll be the Minnesota Vikings on the road as they take on the LA Rams from SoFi in Westwood. We'll have it tonight for you right here in Eastern Iowa's home for sports, 1600 ESPN. Scott Unash with you. Mark Dukes will join me coming up in just a moment. We've got Andrew on the other side of the window looking my way here today.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Greetings.
Greetings.
How are you?
I'm good. It's going to be a long day for me because after this, I have to go to my other job. But yeah, it's worth it. The paycheck will be worth it.
That'll be good. Mm-hmm. You could be Isaac.
I could be Isaac getting up at 6 in the morning, working here, and then going back down to school at Iowa. And
could
or then
Isaac.
Coming back up here to do the show again. Yeah.
Yeah. Jay knows you a present, too.
Yeah, I think she owes both of us a present.
Mark Dukes joining me from the southwest side on the back porch on a beautiful Thursday here in Eastern Iowa. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Scott. Good afternoon to you and Andrew and everyone out there. And violins to our producers.
As I mentioned, we got a jam-packed show coming up for you today. Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join us in about 10 minutes, and we will discuss many things, Rough Rider hockey. And first and foremost, it is the final regular season week of high school football. We'll talk about that with JJ. First round of the playoffs come up tomorrow in 2A, 1A, A, and 8-man. So we'll talk about all that with Jeff Johnson. And then later on in the hour, Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of the Northwestern Wildcats, will be joining us. Iowa Northwestern for homecoming in Iowa City on Saturday afternoon. 2:30 start for that one on the Big Ten Network. And we will talk about that with Dave coming up on the program at that time. We'll get you Bowling Night in America wrap up from last night and Emil's Hideaway scoreboard as well, all before 4 o'clock here today. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. That's 319-366-1600. Phone line as well. That's also 319-366-1600. And great to have you with us on 1600 AM. 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. And as I mentioned, we got football coming up tonight for you. We had college football basically each night now as we get into the second half of the season. Not a lot of people probably took this in last night, Mark, but pretty significant ball game. As Kennesaw State upset Liberty last night as a 27-point underdog, getting the first FBS victory for Kennesaw in their program's history, and more than likely submarining Liberty out of a possible college football playoff spot. That is how significant that college football result was last night.
Well, it happened. I don't think Liberty was, you know, your top candidate for one of those spots, but it certainly was in the running and was unbeaten and loses to a winless team that never won an FCS game in its history. Short history, that is.
Very short history. Less than 1 year of history. But that opens the door for Boise. Heck, Army and Navy still very much alive. They are both undefeated. Now they have to play Notre Dame, and that includes Navy coming up this Saturday at the Meadowlands. But still, hope springs eternal, as they always say, Mark. And it's fun having Army and Navy in the top 25. past the halfway point of the college football season.
It is, and that's one of the games, Notre Dame and Navy, that is, that we'll pick on the Emil's Hideaway pick six tomorrow as the panel tries to get well.
Very well. Trying to get a lot better. So that's college football. You got pro football coming up tonight. The Minnesota Vikings coming off their first loss of the season at 5-1. They take on a very desperate Los Angeles Rams team tonight. Cooper Kupp might play, might not play. We shall see. Big game for the Rams. This is about the time last year that they started to head in the right direction, get into the playoffs, make some noise there. Have to do it tonight, or we may see a selling off next week of pieces for the Los Angeles Rams. And we'll see how the Vikings come back from their first loss in Inglewood on a short week on the road, Mark.
Yeah, you got to like the Vikings here. And Cooper Kupp situation is interesting because if he is going to be traded, why not go the Devontae Adams route? Oh, I got a hamstring injury. I got this. He has had an injury, Kupp, that is. If you're going to get traded, why risk further injury and risk your future? And from the Rams standpoint, I'm not sure why you want to do that either and diminish his market value.
Very true.
Although the Rams are still in it this year, so I get it.
Yeah, I mean, the Rams aren't out of this thing yet. I mean, the San Francisco 49ers are also struggling at this particular point in the NFC West, which right now is led by the Seahawks at 4-3. So the Rams are only a game and a half out. Cardinals 3-4, 49ers 3-4, Rams at 2-4. Could see the season debut of former Hawkeye T.J. Hockenson tonight for the Minnesota Vikings. It is a possibility anyway that he might get on the field tonight.
That would be good, no doubt about it. And Hockenson's a terrific receiver and has had some injuries here, and we'll see.
That's coming up tonight for you, and we'll have it for you beginning at 6:30. Going to talk to Jeff Johnson of the Gazette coming up here in just a couple of moments, and looking forward to talking with him about a bevy of subjects that he is an expert at. So we will do that coming up here in just a little bit. Got to say, Mark, before we get to Mr. Johnson, of course, we are now in the NBA season. The NBA getting started a couple nights ago. In earnest last night, we already have a controversy. You've got perhaps the Philadelphia 76ers being fined. Joel Embiid did not play last night. The other thing that came out newsworthy from the NBA today, new redesigned NBA Cup tournament courts. My first question is, why do we have to have a special court for this? Asked that last year. And why do they have to be so gaudy and ugly?
Which piece of news is more significant to you, Scott?
None of them, but it's just we really need to spend resources on bringing in special courts for the NBA Cup tournament.
Of course we do.
And as Spencer pointed out, the Bucks court is blue, and the Bucks don't even have blue in their team colors. So I'll let him explain that between 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock, being our resident Milwaukee Buck expert here and fan. I'll let him take 2 hours to explain that one coming up. It's crazy stuff. I don't think they need it. Go with special uniforms if you want to. Leave the court alone.
Well, as far as the NBA goes, I'm just waiting to see who plays the Celtics at the end of the year.
Now, Gene and Vinton just told us Hockenson has been ruled out for tonight. So that's, if that is the case, that was a shame. And 74-70 also said they are going to be ruled out. Kupp and Puka both are back tonight. And Gene is a Viking fan. Gene, I will not say that four-letter word that you have in the back of your, but just Enjoy your Viking game tonight. That's all.
The Vikings don't need any more weapons. Okay?
And Greg says the Buck City Connect jerseys are blue. So you have a City Connect jersey, and those are different colors than your regular jersey. I don't know. Crazy stuff. We'll see. 319-366-1600. Let's bring in our friend Jeff Johnson of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff online at thegazette.com. Give him a follow on X or Twitter, whichever you prefer. Remember when teams just wore their team colors, Jeff?
Yeah, it seems like forever ago, right? When was the last time Iowa State actually wore Cardinal and Gold?
It was a couple weeks ago. West Virginia's into the the nighttime black thing too. So
I saw that. I don't know what to think of it. That's what the kids want these days, I guess. So whatever.
Well, it's getting into the high school ranks too.
It is. I did not know that. Is there? When you start seeing like Kennedy wear blue and red, or you know, Prairie wearing, aqua blue and dark blue, then I think we might have a problem.
Yeah, and I am sounding like that old guy yelling at a cloud, Greg, in Epworth. So.
me too, right? You know, I just came in from, being on my porch yelling at the neighbors about nothing, so yeah.
There you go. We're getting, can you believe it's final week of the regular season already, and the playoffs are getting started for the 2A, 1A, A, and 8-player teams. We've had a great summer and fall.
Yeah, I just got this nagging feeling that one of these Friday nights here in the next couple of weeks, we're going to get a rain night, a mutter, and a bunch of mutters. Does anybody have grass fields anymore? Doesn't seem like it, right?
Not very many.
No. But, yeah, it's gone really fast. It was the fastest 9 weeks of the year is what the old cliche is. And it's been a good season, and this is always the most fun part of it now as we get down to the nitty-gritty.
Let's get into some of the scenarios, Jeff. And starting in 5A, several berths already clinched. And we can talk about the merits of the RPI later on if we want. But as far as locally in an area, great year for Iowa City. Lindmar looks to be in, and Prairie. And nobody wants to play Prairie, but I don't know if they'll get in.
Yeah, there's got to be a lot of things happen for Prairie to get in, and none of them are very likely, quite frankly. So, disappointing for the Hawks. It's generally a pretty young team, so I think they're really building something for the future, probably starting next season. But, yeah, I mean, all three, Iowa City Public Schools are in, all led by – have dynamic offenses, and that's kind of how they've won football games this fall. Lindmar's in. I think that's it really for the corridor here. In 5A, there's still some things out there. Like, for instance, I think it's the Ottumwa-Waterloo West winner gets in, the loser gets out, so that would bump up someone potentially to Cedar Falls, which is sitting there at a 4-4 record that's played also a very tough schedule that, Cedar Falls could kind of squeak in there as maybe the 16 seed, so to speak, in this thing, and that would be they'd be a dangerous one. So, Scott, I don't know what you think, but I think, Eastern Iowa's been able to go over and beat some teams from Central Iowa, the Des Moines Suburban Schools, this season. So it's going to be really interesting to me to see if stuff like that kind of carries over into the playoffs, and if we can have like an Eastern Iowa school represent, get the finals and maybe win the thing. It'll be interesting.
It's yeah, you're right. There have been a few teams that have won in those head-to-head matchups. Still need to get better, and the coaches will tell you they need to get better. It's good that we're starting to see these matchups. I think that's one thing with the new 5A schedule model that we've had in place the last couple of cycles, and we'll continue, I'm sure, into the next 2 years coming up. I don't think that Kyle Knock and Brian White would probably agree with me saying that, because Kennedy's played the toughest schedule in 5A this year, period. And, you know, they're a good team, but they're going to be on the outside looking in, and Prairie possibly could be that way too.
Yeah, I did a little research, you know, for our podcast that KJ Pilcher, Jeff Linder, and I do, and Kennedy had it was either the second or the third most difficult schedule when you looked at opponents' records in the entire state, and that was regardless of class. So, and that's the way, you know, Kennedy's always wanted it. It just, you know, for whatever reason, it just didn't happen this year. They just didn't quite win enough games. But it'll be interesting here with this cycle, a new cycle coming, you know, starting next season, how schools are going to try and put together schedules at the 5A level with, you know, no conferences, no districts, things like that. How are you going to schedule? You know, and it'll be really interesting to see. And I guess you got to find opponents too that want to play you. So that'll be really interesting to me over the winter when schedules start being put together for these schools for the next 2 year cycle.
A couple of questions before Mark gets the next one in for you from the text line. 2757 asking, is Jeff still in the hunt? Yes, but they have to beat Liberty at home tomorrow night. That's an easy answer there. And 2170 asking, is Hempstead have a shot? If they win tomorrow night, they'd be 6-3. I think 6-3, Hempstead gets in if they win tomorrow night.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that got to happen. You know, some teams have to lose, you know, first and foremost. And I don't think there's a lot of head-to-head in between the top 16 right now. So, you know, I think Cedar Falls is the most likely of the teams not in the top 16 right now to get into the top 16 after Friday night. And, you know, we'll have to see about some of the other ones. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Hempstead's right there. And I think, if I remember right, Council Bluffs Lincoln plays somebody really tough.
Yeah.
Friday night. So, Hempstead could get in, I guess.
Class 4A, focus on District 3 for a minute. Three teams at 3-1 in that district. Looks like all three will get in, including Xavier. What's the scenario there?
Yeah, it would go on points, the point differential, and North Scott right now has the advantage there. So I think it's looking like North Scott will be the number one seed, or the higher, the district winner, however you want to phrase it there. All of those teams should get in, you know, provided they take care of their own business. On Friday, that would be Xavier, obviously, and North Scott, and then Clear Creek and Mana, you know, under first-year head coach. I mean, Lance Peterson has won everywhere he's been, and he moved over to Clear Creek Amanda this season, and you know, I think that was really a kind of a statement win for his program there last week when the Clippers were able to go over to Xavier and win that football game. But yeah, I think North Scott would end up being the district champ there, and I think it would go head to head then for second place, which would be Clear Creek Amanda, which would leave Xavier as an at-large, have to get one of those at-large bids, which it would, no question about that, if it wins Friday night.
If it wins, and they'll be favored against Burlington. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us here. 5A, 4A, 3A all have their merits. 5A only has one undefeated team left, and that was Bettendorf, who hung
barely.
On. Yes, barely. I think a great example of how, you know, equal 5A is. City High has gone for two at the end of games on three occasions to win. They're 2-for-3. And as Meatloaf said, that ain't bad. They'd like to be 3-3, but that's asking an awful lot. A lot of good teams in 4A. 3A, though, man, that 3A is loaded, especially around here. It's going to be very interesting tomorrow or Saturday morning to see how they're all going to be divided up.
Yeah, and you know, again, Jeff Linder, who's kind of really all on top of this thing, was we were kind of talking about the RPI here in 3A, and there's a pretty good chance West Delaware is not going to make the playoffs, and that is a really good football team. You know, it played up in the non-district and lost a couple of games. It's going to sit here probably with a 5-4 overall record, and they go into this week 18th in the RPI, not in the top two district-wise. So, unfortunately, the Hawks might be out of this thing, and that just like that goes to prove your point, Scott. It's just how good, especially in Eastern Iowa, but really throughout the state, in 3A, there's so many good teams, so many teams that you can take, make serious cases for making deep runs in the playoffs. You got, you know, Humboldt sitting there, number one in the RPI. And they've lost the game. Then you got Sergeant Bluff, Luton, and Wallert are undefeated teams. Williamsburg, we all know, the defending champ. Saw them play. They are very legit and certainly could win it again. Mount Vernon's a tremendous football team. Independence is good. Solon's good. Benton Community's good. And I think Friday night we have, what, Benton and Williamsburg play for the District 5 championship. So that's going to be a heck of a game out there. But, yeah, 3A really, really loaded, no doubt.
Classes below 3A, the playoffs actually begin. What matchup or two do you like coming out this first week?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit, again, on our podcast. Is, you know, there's a lot of ones versus four as far as district seeding goes. And, you know, you hardly ever see, you know, fourth place district team beat a district winner. But, I mean, there are some interesting games we kind of came up with. I'm trying to even remember now how kind of looking at it here real quick. Be interesting. We thought maybe Hudson at North Manson, Northwest Webster is a 4-1 game that could be close and could provide an upset. And then, you know, you have the twos and the threes. It's the third place and the second place teams playing. And there's some interesting matchups there. Again, just kind of scrolling through. We kind of liked El Burnett and MFL Marmac is a game that we think could be really close. That was one that kind of popped at us. And then, you know, Starmont at Lisbon, maybe that's a 4-1. Northland at Pekin, that's a 3-2 game. That could be a really interesting game. And, you know, 8-player, there's a different amount of districts. So you have some third place playing first place, third place playing second place playing second place, and then at large playing first place. So that's kind of a hodgepodge. But there's a couple of games there. We really looked at BGM at Edco, a couple of teams that can really, really put up points. That might be 90-80 by the time it's all said and done as a first round game there, an 8-player. And Waco and Central City is another one that, you know, here in Lane County, Central City has had a good ending of the season, and that could be a good game. A couple of second place district finishers in the 8-player game.
The Rand McNally Award winner of the week, though, is Bedford at Belle Plaine.
Yeah. Are they using the IHSAA private jet to send the Bedford kids over to Belle Plaine?
I don't know how long it is, but it ain't next door.
No, I got to MapQuest that. That's a great thought. God, that's got to be 3 hours.
That's got to be 3 hours at least,
I would think. Yeah. So I guess those boys will be getting out of school a little early tomorrow.
I think that you are right on that one. Jeff Johnson joining us from the Gazette. Before we leave high school football here and like you talked about West Delaware, we talked about Kennedy, talked about Prairie a little bit. I would love to see. I think it's not a bad system with the RPI. I think this is the best system that the Iowa High School Athletic Association has put together With that being said, I still think there can be some tweaking done. Just when you play up a class or down a class a little bit. I would have to go into it and see how it can be done, but, you know, it's... And the easy answer is just go win the games, and you don't have to worry about it. But there are some teams that play up, and they sometimes get rewarded for it. Sometimes they don't get rewarded for it.
I would agree with that. And, you know, I'm not knocking anybody, but I mean, you look at it, Tom was a perfect example, right? 7-1 record, played, what, a couple of 4A teams, I believe?
3As.
3As, there you go. Opponent's record, looking at it, 20-52. That's quote unquote the easiest. There are no easy schedules, but statistically wise, was the easiest schedule or in the state. The only opponent that you could say was a fairly high level opponent, Otoma lost by I think 40 points or something like that. So. But, you know, it's one of those things, Scott and Mark. And what do you do? What do you do with schools like that? Or Jefferson, the Davenport public schools, the Des Moines public schools. They virtually have no chance ever to make the playoffs in realistic fashion unless you have schedules like this. So how do you balance that that aspect of it? I don't know. I really don't. I mean, do you want teams like that to have a chance? Sure. Do you also want to have the best 16 teams in 5A get in? Sure. Sometimes I don't think you can have both things. So I don't know what the answer is. I do think they might tweak the RPI a little bit, Scott, as you said. It'll be interesting, to see who goes up or who goes down as far as this next cycle again for the free and reduced lunch formula that they use to assign schools to particular classes.
By the way, Cameron has done the math. 3 hours and 17 minutes, Bedford to Belle Plaine.
Really? Holy Nikes.
Go ahead, Mark.
No, I was just going to say there will be different schedules next year. This is the end of the cycle, right?
Yeah. Yep. So, And I think what schools can still do the request.
Correct.
Opponents, right?
Yep.
Pretty much. So they can kind of set up their own schedule for the most part. And if there's not agreement on a certain amount of opponents, obviously I think then the state kind of steps in and finishes them off for you. So yeah, everything changes here in this. Starting next season with the new two-year cycle.
Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us here for a few more minutes. Hockey season is here, thankfully.
Yeah, lots of pucks, yeah.
A lot of pucks. And Rough Riders and the Heartlanders. What do we know about these two teams going into the year?
The Heartlanders, not very much. They opened their season, their ECHL season, last weekend at home, lost a couple of games to Fort Wayne, which is always one of the top teams in the league. Lost one of those in overtime, so they did get one standings point out of it. Rough Riders are 4-5. They have a weekend, or I think they're on the road, Madison and I think Waterloo back to back. Already made a substantial number of moves. Player trades, they lost one of their best players, went back to Sweden after he was unable to be cleared by the NCAA clearinghouse to play college hockey, which is baffling to me because it seems like the NCAA lets anybody play college sports in this day and age and wherever they want. So it's interesting. You know, I think Cedar Rapids will be pretty good. They made another trade yesterday. One of their top guys from last season was dealt. Wanted to move on to another team, and he was obliged by being traded. So yeah, it's still really early, especially for the Heartlanders. you know, I think I'm going to go down tonight, actually. They play the expansion Bloomington Bison, Scotty.
Ooh.
at Extreme Arena. So it'd be good to see them in person for the first time this season.
There you go. The Rough Riders at Waterloo on Saturday, by the way, at 6:05 at Young Arena.
Yep.
So
yep.
The battle begins. Greg in Epworth wants to know about the Dubuque Fighting Saints, though.
Always good. I think they lead the division early going. I got to admit, I haven't looked at
it's early.
It's early. But, you know, Dubuque's kind of one of those, become one of those programs that, you know, just is able to bring in really good players almost every season. And, you know, their general manager last year got a job this season as the player development head, farm director, if you want to equate it to baseball, for the Edmonton Oilers. So, Callie Larson, good guy. Got a great job with an NHL team. So, yeah, Dubuque's always going to be good, I would certainly think.
There we go. All right, man. We will see you tomorrow night.
Sounds good. Guys, thanks very much. Enjoy the weekend, both of you. So
you too.
All right.
Keep her up. Keep up the good work.
Oh, we'll try. We'll keep trying to fake them out, trying to fool them. So.
All right. Thanks.
Take care, guys.
Thanks, Jeff. Jeff Johnson of the Gazette joining us. And read his stuff online at thegazette.com. We're going to talk to Dave Ennetts, the play-by-play voice of the Northwestern Wildcats. That will be coming up here in just a few minutes. Want to get it to Mark for an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update, though, at this time. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They're right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot, open at 4 o'clock. They're open Monday through Saturday with food available until 9 o'clock. And all their stuff homemade. And stop by, say hi, tell them the gang at KGYM sent you. What do we got?
Two Iowa Hawkeyes have reached the gold medal match of the U23 World Wrestling Championships. That for women being contested in Albania. The two Hawkeyes reaching the finals are Macy Kilty and Kylie Walker. In the NFL, Jonathan Taylor, Indianapolis running back, is back at practice. Jaden Daniels, the Washington Commanders quarterback, will quote-unquote attempt to practice Friday after missing the last 2 days. And Ben Sinnott's first catch and first touchdown catch for the Commanders last weekend against Carolina came on a play called Taylor Swift, according to offensive coordinator Cliff Kingsbury. Senate played his high school ball at Waterloo Columbus. And finally, in the Arizona Fall League, kind of an incubator for Major League Baseball, they are testing out a check swing automated replay. Don't know if you saw that, Scott. Kind of interesting. I don't know.
I haven't seen it yet, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is that the one thing we need to really buckle down upon is check swings in baseball?
That's what they do in the Arizona Fall League. They test things like this, and it's kind of an imaginary line, and then it's superimposed over the batter's replay of the swing, and if it crosses that imaginary line or reaches it, it's a check swing.
So yeah. How long does that take?
I don't know.
Okay. Five minutes, maybe. All right, we'll take a break, come back. We will have a Bowling Night in America wrap-up for you, and then Dave Ennett will join us coming up in about 7 or 8 minutes. Stay with us. More to come. It is a Thursday edition of the Gym Class right here on 1600 ESPN.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your Weather First forecast. And we'll start with sunshine, but clouds are going to be building in during the late afternoon and this evening. Temperatures will peak around 70, and then tonight a cold front will start to move in. That's going to lead to some showers and storms, especially after 8 p.m. A few storms could be strong with hail and gusty winds, especially prior to midnight. We'll then have some rain overnight into early Friday morning. We'll dry out for Friday and the weekend and stay chilly. That's your latest Iowa's News Now Weather First forecast.
There was a time when you knew the name of the grocer, the banker, and the tailor. Simpler days when a rotary telephone was the most advanced communication device anyone had. That's the world Hertin and Stocker Jewelers opened its doors to back in the 1940s. A bustling downtown with friends stopping in to browse, buy, or just say hello. And no matter how busy a shop might be, you were always warmly greeted and well taken care of. Willa Dickens began working with customers in those distant days, and he raised his boys Terry and Tim to understand that it was the way you made people feel that genuinely made a difference. You'll sense it when you step into Hertin and Stocker Jewelers. Even though you'll be surrounded by today's most beautiful jewelry, you'll recognize the lost art of service that has been carefully maintained. Come see what's in those famous windows at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And be sure to stop in and say hi to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Are you ready to take a sweet trip down memory lane? Come on, let's head straight to the bake sale, only at Quickstar. Craving those fresh, oven-baked cookies like Grandma used to make? The Quickery's got them. Baked with love and a touch of that old-fashioned goodness. In a rush? Grab a muffin for just $1.19. A perfect on-the-go treat. From glazers to cake donuts. Indulge at the bake sale. So what are you waiting for? Treat yourself only at Quickstar.
Meet your new favorite trading card store. Cooley Cards and Gaming is open in Cedar Rapids. Stop by and see their huge selection. Cooley Cards and Gaming has everything. Sports cards, Pokemon, Magic the Gathering, Yu-Gi-Oh! And more, including almost every new release. They also buy and trade any trading card with value, plus they have collecting supplies and memorabilia. These are your people. Stop in 7 days a week at Cooley Cards and Gaming in their new Cedar Rapids location, 2660 Wiley Boulevard Southwest, next to Jonesy's.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Adult League. But they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
And it was a Wednesday. That means it was a bowling night in America. And this wrap-up is brought to you by May City Bowl, our good friends on Trent Street Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the home of Bowling Night in America. Interestingly enough, Mark, a passerby last night said that we should have sold tickets because we had several spectators there last night taking in the Rusty Nails.
Well, that's nice. Didn't do a whole lot for the Rusty Nails, losing 17-13, but no ground lost in the standings, and I'm sure a good time had by all. Rusty Nails still in eighth place in the Adult Evergreen League. Perfect games last night by Ryan Bundy and Quincy Bruce. Bruce started with, I believe, 21 straight strikes.
21. We thought we were going to see a little history last night for a while.
Yeah, Bruce finished with an 8-28 series.
That's good. That's good. That's getting it done. He had 21 in a row, believe, which takes to the first ball in the 10th of the second game, and by this time we were paying attention from a distance and hit a solid pocket shot left to 10. But he picked it up and went 300-279, I want to say, in the first couple. So great job by him and Ryan last night.
Yeah, no doubt about it. 300's not necessarily uncommon, but a streak like that is pretty special for Bruce. And 828, one of the top series in town this year.
No doubt. Not near the record, though. And the record has been pushed up, by the way, Mark. I think it was 889. They were telling me last night.
That's damn near perfect for three games, huh?
Very close. If you are interested in open bowling or the pro shop or just have some questions, go ahead and give the good folks at May City a call.
Yep, phone number is 362-0136, and plenty of information on the website, maycitybowlcr.com.
All right, quick break, come back. We'll talk Northwestern football with Dave Ennett when we return.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone, see?
Huh, nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection runs October 28th through December 6th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Cedar Rapids on Saturday, October 26th. All Elite Wrestling presents Collision.
We are doing this for you. Get lost in our action.
Be there live as AEW arrives in Cedar Rapids for the first time ever.
Collision, the first time ever.
The best professional wrestlers in the world. An unforgettable live experience. AEW Collision from Alliant Energy Powerhouse in Cedar Rapids. Saturday, October 26th. Tickets on sale now at AEWTIX.com.
When you grow up in a family business, shop local just hits different. You basically absorb the idea that these people's jobs, their lives, literally depend on you. And that's pretty crazy. It's also the lives of all the people they impact. So like, somebody chooses my family's business, then our employees choose other local businesses. It's like dropping a pebble in a pond. The ripples just keep expanding and make the whole community stronger.
1600 ESPN is a local business. We're here just like you. Choose local every time you can.
Back with you at 3:45. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget Spencer and Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. Iowa Northwestern, homecoming in Iowa City Saturday afternoon. The Before the Boom podcast will be available for you tomorrow morning to take in. And you can go to our website and download that at kgymradio.com. To talk about the Northwestern Wildcats, the terrific play-by-play voice of the Cats, that is Dave Ennett joining us here in Eastern Iowa on a Thursday. Dave, thanks for the time. Appreciate it. And I got to start off by asking, it's been an unusual year, probably for you, for the Wildcats, for everyone, without a permanent home, if you will. How has that gone so far through the first half of the season?
Well, the temporary stadium is now, for this year, there are no more games there. They played five games. They've got two home games left. Those will be played at Wrigley Field. So I guess my answer would be they would have liked to have won a couple more games there than they did. I think they had a little higher hopes. They ended up going 2-3 with a tough double overtime loss to Duke. And Duke's turned out to be a pretty good club. And then a tough game against Indiana where they couldn't make a stop when they were within 3 points in the fourth quarter. And then last week against Indiana, Wisconsin, the offense just didn't get going. That said, it was a terrific venue. It was a lot of fun to see them play there. It was certainly intimate. It was somewhat tight quarters, 12,000 fans, very enthusiastic, very picturesque, right on the waters of Lake Michigan. And I think given their situation with without a stadium in which to play this year because Ryan Field was demolished and they're putting up a new stadium on that site, the options where they would play weren't great. And I think this turned out to be the best possible solution and turned into a real, real interesting place to play. And they're going to play there again next year.
Dave, rarely does a week go by for Iowa fans that they don't want to talk about the second-string quarterback, especially when the first-teamer struggles just a tad. And, of course, that second-teamer came from Northwestern. You're familiar with him. What do you think of Sullivan?
Brandon Sullivan's a terrific player. And look, he did a lot of good things at Northwestern. I'm not sure really what provoked his decision to leave. I guess that next year he would be the guy if McNamara moves on. I think maybe he felt he had a better opportunity there. But I've watched Brendan Sullivan make plays with his legs. I think He's generally pretty accurate in the passing game. And, you know, he's had some opportunities at Northwestern. Last year, he started four games in midseason when Ben Bryant got hurt. And I thought he did a pretty decent job for them. So there's no question that, Brendan Sullivan's a talented guy, and I'm sure that he'll get his opportunities. I know he's already gotten some, and I know the lot of the backup quarterback is that you're going to hear your name mentioned an awful lot, especially on days when things aren't going great for the starter. But, I think certainly he merits that discussion because he is, I think, a very talented quarterback.
Well, tell us about the quarterback that we will see wearing purple coming up on Saturday as the Cats take on the Hawkeyes with Jack Lausch.
Well, I think he's also a very talented guy, but he's young. He doesn't quite have the experience of certainly not Cade McNamara and certainly not Brendan Sullivan. I mean, this is a guy who ascended to the starting job the third week of the season this year. And, you know, a little bit unusual. Let's face it. He started the last five games. And Mike Wright, a transfer from Mississippi State, who played previously at Vanderbilt, started the season, started the first two games. And I think that what we've heard from the coaches has been that they really wanted more emphasis put on taking care of the football. And for the most part, Jack has done that. I know there was the strip sack last week, which I'm sure you guys have seen and talked about. But he has not been a high turnover guy for them. But he's had a couple of tough games where, quite frankly, it's never all on the quarterback, either good or bad, right? And I think at Washington, he had some passes drop. He struggled a bit in his first start on the road. And they just couldn't get anything going offensively. The defense really kept them in the game against the Huskies. Now you fast forward about 3 weeks to Maryland, and he played exceptionally well, hit several passes in downfield, big plays, chunk plays, 40 yards plus to his wide receivers, Bryce Kurtz and A.J. Henning, and they won 37-10 over the Terrapins. So he was a different guy. Now, last week, he struggled. So, you know, I think that's kind of when you have a guy who's still kind of learning and things, as we hear all the time in regards to Caleb Williams with the Bears, it's not always linear in the progress that a quarterback makes. And I think we've seen that a little bit with Lausch.
What will the Iowa Hawkeyes see in Northwestern's defense, Dave, statistically? It has been very good against the rush. What are the Hawkeyes going to face in the Wildcats defense?
Well, it is a good defense, you know, and it's still there. You know, last week was the first time they gave up a 100-yard rushing game this year, but they've been holding their opponents to under 90 yards rushing a game, which I know those are pretty typical Iowa defensive numbers, but hasn't always been that way for the Wildcats. It's a good defense. I think their front seven, when healthy, is right up there with some of the better ones in the Big Ten. They have a lot of depth on their defensive line. They were bolstered by the return of Carmine Bastone 2 weeks ago. He was a guy who made a lot of plays for him last year but missed the early part of this season. He came back in the Maryland game, and he was credited with the strip sack that produced a touchdown, a defensive touchdown for the Cats in that game. Xander Mueller, their Will linebacker, got hurt last week, and there's still been no real clarity on his status for Saturday. If he can't play, that's certainly a setback for him, but he didn't play most of the game last week, and really their defense kept them in the game against Wisconsin until ultimately the offense just couldn't produce any points, and the Badgers put it away. But, I think it's deeper than it's been. I think especially the defensive line has got more guys who are rolling through there than maybe we've seen in past years, and some guys who really get after the quarterback, and Aiden Hubbard and Anto Saka. And, you know, I think if you guys go back to the game at Wrigley Field last year, And I realized Iowa's better offensively this year than they were at that time. But I think you kind of got a glimpse of the potential that this defense has. I think they've generally played pretty well. And with the possible exception of the Indiana game, they've really given this team a chance to win every week.
Dave, usually Iowa Northwestern translates to a very low-scoring rock'em and sock'em game. Do you expect that again Saturday afternoon?
Well, I suppose if I say that, then it's going to turn into a high-scoring game. Here's the way I look at it. I think Iowa has the potential this year to put a lot of points on the board. And I think it's on this Northwestern defense to try to make it that kind of grinded-out low-scoring game. And you guys know this. There have been times when Iowa's been a heavy favorite. Northwestern's come in there and turned it into that kind of a game, forcing turnovers. That's an area in which they've been very good so far this year. They've got 12 takeaways by their defense. And, you know, they're going to need to do that, I think, to give themselves a shot in this game. And I do think this will be that kind of a game. It's a physical game, and I think that Northwestern's defense is good enough to hang in there. Now, is their offense going to be able to bounce back from last week? And they got a couple question marks with guys who were banged up a week ago, A.J. Henning among them. Not sure how healthy he's going to be, if he's able to go. Obviously, he's a big key to this offense for Northwestern. I would expect it. I don't know if it's going to be a 10-7 game again this year, but I think it's going to be that kind of game.
I think it's going to be a little bit more of a lower scoring game than people expect. I would agree with you on that. And Dave, always good catching up with you. Safe travels to Iowa City, and keep up the great work in the booth with the Cats. Appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. Always good being with you.
All right. Dave Ennett, the play-by-play voice of the Northwestern Wildcats, joining us here on a Thursday edition of the Gym Class here on 1600 ESPN. Back with you coming up tomorrow at 3 o'clock, and we'll take a look at the college and pro football weekend. Look back on tonight's Viking-Ram game. We'll see if Skoll travels this evening, and a whole lot more, including your chance to win a $30 gift card with the Emil's Hideaway Pick 6. That'll be coming up tomorrow here on the program. Always good to catch up with Dave Ennett, Mark, one of the really, really good voices of the Big Ten.
Yeah, and it really sounds like Northwestern's been an up-and-down team, and we'll see if it's up or down on Saturday.
Yeah, that's a 2:30 start. Big Ten Network will have it again tomorrow. We will have the Before the Boom podcast up and ready to go for you bright and early. You can download that. Listen or watch, if you will. Not going to say we are the best-looking guys in the world, but and Spencer agrees with me. But you can, however you want to consume it, we encourage you to do so, and it'll be available for you coming up tomorrow. Do yourself a favor and take it in. Looking forward to that. All right, Mark, we will do it again coming up tomorrow, and we got football coming up tonight. By the way, a little crossover tomorrow, the Iowa men's basketball team starts their season with the exhibition tomorrow night against Minnesota Duluth. October seems early for basketball, but there you go.
Yeah, it'll be upon us. Regular season starts next week, and there you have it.
Yeah. Our thanks to Dave. Our thanks to Jeff Johnson for joining us. Hopefully I'm not going to get we waited all this time for rain, and now we're going to get it on a night with football out there. So here it comes. Talk to you tomorrow at 3.
It's football season, and Vivid Seats is your ultimate destination for all the action on the gridiron. With a game-changing rewards program, plus an amazing selection of tickets, Vivid Seats ensures that every fan can catch their favorite teams and players in action. Vivid Seats has you.